Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Braden Gall, Derek Mason, Marquise Munson. And we have a brief announcement here before we get into some Derek Mason coaching talk, Kentucky basketball, Phillip Rivers coming to the Titans. We got Floyd Reese. We got a lot of stuff planned for you guys today. But we do have an announcement here on the program real quickly to get things started. And Nick Kale is no longer with Morning Drive. Management has decided to move in a different direction. And personally, because trust is such an important characteristic that I value over so many other things, not everything, but so many other things, Derek, Marquise, myself, we are committed to doing the best stinking show we can possibly do for the best audience in Nashville every single morning. So because I value that trust so much, I'm going to try to be as honest with you guys this morning as I can. And I think you deserve that, the audience. I think you have earned that. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Nick Kale for just a second. Just a quick second. Our co-host, Denzel Bundy, as we call him around here, couldn't do stuff. Like he couldn't, you know, like just things, normal everyday life activities. Couldn't get his tags renewed, couldn't start a lawnmower. But I'll be damned if that dude didn't know how many times Georgia hit the over on the road in SEC East games since 2001 right off the top of his head. Incredible skill that guy had to do that. He has an extremely crass sense of humor. Stuff my wife and I honestly did not understand, but it always made me smile. And if you guys think his one-liners on the show were a little a little creepy, just read some text messages from Nick Kale one day. A ridiculous sense of humor. You have no idea. He's surprisingly quiet off the air, which is bizarre for a person who talks for a living, of course. But then again, he does work with me. So I'm sure at the end of 4 hours, he was tired of talking to me. And so he was very quiet. His clothes are far too baggy and his sunglasses were a little creepy. But he also is one of the hardest working, most committed, passionate human beings I've ever worked with. He loved you, this audience. He also loved gambling and he loved golf. It was a pleasure working with you, Nick. I'll miss your nearly perfect random Denzel Washington quotes. But Nick Kale is no longer with Morning Drive.
The audience know how honest I am, brutally honest to a fault at times. Do I like it? No, I don't. because like Braden said, you build up trust on the show and that's the only thing you can rely on. Is that you trust the individual that you're working with. For 15 years, that's what I had to do, is trust the individual that I work next to in order to win the game. And I think we trusted one another. If I didn't know something, Nick knew it. If Nick didn't know something, Braden knew it. If Braden didn't know something, you know, Nick knew it or Marquise knew it. But we trusted one another. Braden, I don't have much to say. Yeah.
Well, we're on to Cincinnati. Marquise?
when I first got to Nashville, Nick was the first person when I first got this job to reach out. And I don't think I ever like told you guys this, Braden, D-Maze, Nick. You guys like kept me strong in Nashville. I miss my family. This job was hard, man, when I first got here. But every morning when I see, when I just interact with you guys, like, that helped me get through my first few months in Nashville. And I don't think I ever told you guys that, but it did. And, you know, it got me through, you know, wanting to be here and wanting to stay here, because I felt like I missed my family. I missed my friends. I felt like I had nobody. I felt like I was to myself. But Nick made me feel like I was a part of the team right away, even though I didn't even work on Morning Drive at the time. He made me feel like I was a part of the team, and which is something that I needed at that time, because I was depressed. And, you know, you guys, and this is why back in August when I knew I was moving to Morning Drive, that it was exciting for me, because I felt like I got to work with guys who understood me, guys who, you know, helped me get through what I needed to get through to be able to live in Nashville. And now I'm comfortable and content and happy with, you know, where I'm at. And obviously this doesn't make me happy at all, you know, because I'm missing a part of the, you know, one of the people that made me feel like Nashville was my home, my third home, you know. And I'm gonna miss having, you know, someone to talk Alabama football with on a regular basis. You know, I'm going to miss somebody to cry about Tua with, because now it's kind of me eating cookies in the shower by myself, wondering if Tua will ever play a game again.
He won't. I mean, but, he will, but it'll be in the NFL.
Yeah, I know. Don't remind me. But no, just, you know, he was the first person to ever, when I first got hired here, to reach out to me in the DM and said, "Hey, bud, we need to go grab a drink. I got some Tito's." This is when I first figured out he got Tito's. And he was the first person to ever reach out to me. So it's obviously, this is going to be, when I found out the news yesterday, when I was producing, you know, Darren, Donica, Chase, it was hard. I could not process. I probably blew a lot of people off, but you know, it's sad, man. But, you know,
so the show must go on, and we are committed again. Like I said at the beginning, you are the best stinking audience in Nashville. Those of you that hang out with us every morning from 6 until 10, and Derek is here, I'm here, Marquise is here, the whole team is here, you know, Nick has moved on, but we are here every day, and we're going to do the best damn show we can for you every single morning. Nothing, you know, you hang out with us, and the show must go on. So that means we've got a ton of stuff to discuss today. We've got all kinds of stuff to get into. The Preds are back on the ice tonight. We have a Kentucky basketball program that is teetering right now after a couple of games. We've got a Titans coming off a bye week, so you'll hear from Floyd Reese and Mike Vrabel coming up in just a few minutes as well. My first thought from last night, and I didn't really watch a ton of the game, but Philip Rivers throws four interceptions last night, and we have, for some reason, I'm not 100% sure, just maybe because the Titans didn't have a great stable quarterback situation, and because he's from the state of Alabama, there's always been links between Philip Rivers and the Tennessee Titans. And I'm just curious, you know, Derek, when you look at Philip Rivers, we all think this guy's a Hall of Famer, but he's thrown seven interceptions in his last two games. The Titans don't have a quarterback next season. I don't know what you saw last night, if you watched any of the game. I didn't see a lot of it. What I saw from Philip Rivers here in Nashville is that he's still got it. I don't know if he wants to play football anymore, but there always been these weird links to the Tennessee Titans. Have you seen enough out of Philip Rivers to say, I think this is somebody or something the Titans should explore moving forward in the offseason? If his contract is up and the Titans don't have a quarterback, there might be a fit there. Complete speculation on my part. I'm not breaking news or anything. I don't know. Philip Rivers to the Titans. Do we like this idea?
They're going to have to obviously address the quarterback situation because they have no one under contract next year. So whoever they bring in, they might, you know, name the starter at least for the next upcoming season. I think that's why they chose to go and view Colin Kaepernick's workout. Now, whether it was planned or they said, you know what, we got somebody in the area, go check him out, whatever the case may be, they still went and viewed to see how he looked. Yeah, they're going to have to do something. If you look at Phillip Rivers, he's on average a 4,400-yard passer, somewhere around there, minus his first two seasons, 0405. He's around a 4,400-yard passer, around a 28, 27 touchdown guy, and he's going to throw maybe 15 interceptions. So with the Tennessee Titans, you know, accept that for 2 years.
Those numbers?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and
when's the last Titans quarterback that was chucking it for 4,400 yards every year?
You're right, not many. And the good thing about Phillip Rivers is that he stayed healthy his whole career. He's only not played 16 games his first two seasons.
That's remarkable.
That was it, where he played two games his first season. He played two games his second season. That's when Drew Brees was there. Every season after that, he has played all 16 games. That's remarkable.
Yeah.
He hasn't missed a game.
I think he's better than Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not trying to knock on Tannehill,
but if you look at the body of work.
He's a Hall of Famer.
You look at what he's been able to do, you know he still has the ability to play the game. Maybe, just like coaches, maybe his seat is just worn out now. Maybe he just needs a different change. Maybe he's gotten comfortable, or they've gotten too comfortable with Phillip Rivers, or he's gotten too comfortable with being there. Like you said, he grew up in Alabama. Maybe he wants to retire and move back to Alabama. I don't know. But I don't think that would be a bad idea.
You could do a lot worse.
Yeah, you could do a lot worse. And if he's only – whoever you get, if they're only going to be a guy that you have underneath center for a year or two, then why not go with Phillip Rivers? You know, he's 37 years old. He'll be 38 next month. So he doesn't seem like he's slowing down any. So maybe he plays until he's 40. He would turn 40 that second season, the end of that second season. So I think that would be a good, you know, I think that would be something the Titans need to look into, because he brings instant credibility.
I just think that if Tannehill plays, you know, even if they don't get into the playoffs, but Tannehill plays well enough, I just don't know if he's willing to take a bridge contract. He's staring at the last deal of his career potentially. And I don't. If I'm him and I play well enough, I would prefer to hit the open market. I know that the Titans don't view me as the long-term solution, and maybe he knows that he's not viewed as the long-term solution anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, you know, if he's asking for $22 or $23 million and you're giving up that kind of money, I'd much rather have a player of Phillip Rivers' caliber. If you're going to give up that level of money, that's why I don't. I mean, I like Teddy Bridgewater, but I don't think he's worth $22 million. I like Nick Foles, but I don't think he's worth $22 million. So I just think if you're going to pay over $20, $22, $25 million for a quarterback, even for just 2 years, I need to get somebody that, like, of Phillip Rivers caliber, even though he played poorly last night and the arm is going to deteriorate at some point. Like Drew Brees' arm has slowed down at some point. If Ryan Tannehill wants to work for $15 million, okay, great. Let's bring him back and sign him and give him a Brissett deal for 2 years and go find your quarterback in the draft. But there's something tells me if he plays well enough to keep this team in the playoff race, he's going to be asking for a lot more money than that.
Yeah. They're going to look at the Nick Foles deal, and that's going to be the starting point. They're not going to look at the Brissett deal. They're going to look at the Nick Foles deal, and they're going to say mid-20s is where the starting point. And if he continues to play well, then rightfully so, he should get it. But are the Titans willing to pay that? You know, moving forward, at least for the next 2 or 3 years, maybe not. Maybe if they want to keep him and they want to pay him 20-something million for the next 2 years, then, you know, you give him 2 years, $40-something million, or 3 years, 40, close to 50, but a lot of it is front-loaded. So the last year, you know, it's the money. It's, if you do release him, it's not going to hit you over the head as far as cap-wise. But I'm pretty sure a guy like Phillip Rivers would, if the Titans say, you know, we would love for you to come here, I don't think he would want, if he's just wanting to get out of San Diego, well, L.A.
Although I guess technically he still lives in San Diego.
Yeah, he still
right?
lives. Yeah, he still lives.
That's
in
a
San
hell
Diego.
Of a commute every day.
Yeah. If you want to get out of L.A., then maybe, you know, you take $17 million for the next two seasons and move your family to Alabama and you live
well,
here. And,
he doesn't
and,
need money. Like he's,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's
maybe
made
you
like
just
a
take,
fortune. So.
Yeah, maybe you just take the $17 million, yeah. 15 to 17 million and, you know.
Hey, $17 million will buy you as much in Alabama as $30 million will buy you in San Diego. Well, you get a lot more land in Alabama.
To buy you more, $17 million to buy you more than what he's making now.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like he'll get a ton more property.
Yeah,
he'll get three ranches.
He'll get
in Alabama.
He'll get two cities in Alabama.
He could have Gadsden and Dothan.
Yeah,
are those anywhere near each other, Marquise? Gadsden and Dothan, are they anywhere near?
Yeah, I'm not going near any one of those.
How about Coleman and Gadsden? Are they close? They're close, right?
Yeah, they're pretty close. Yeah.
Gadsden and Coleman. You could come back, Philip, and buy those two cities if you with $17 million from the Tennessee Titans. Injury update from Mike Vrabel coming up on the other side. You'll hear from the head coach. Obviously, some big names for the Tennessee Titans out last week or 2 weeks ago. And for a couple of weeks, did the bye week help? We'll get an update from Mike Vrabel. And Floyd Reese is going to join us in about 15 minutes as well. Don't go anywhere. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
For your team, having had the bye, are you hopeful of maybe getting some guys available this week?
Yep, always hopeful. It was a good week for us to get, I guess, recovered mentally, physically. And, you know, we'll see where we're at today. Excited to get out there and practice. We'll definitely know more on Wednesday.
Mike Vrabel yesterday, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson, and as you heard there, nothing specific about any of the Titans players who missed the game with the Chiefs. So you had Delanie Walker, who's been out for quite some time, Jarrell Casey, who's missed a few games, Corey Davis with the hip injury, Jayon Brown with the groin, all missing the game against Kansas City, all, according to Jim Wyatt, stuck around, of course, through the bye week for rehab. We won't really know anything official until they get out onto the practice field tomorrow and we get the practice reports. Obviously, those guys all sitting out the Kansas City game, you know, Derek, and you can kind of explain to people what a bye week looks like when you're coming off of an injury. I asked you in the break, I said, does it mean that these guys are closer to being ready or further away that they were in the building rehabbing? And it sounds like there's really not a clear answer to that.
Yeah, there's not. I mean, even, you know, Vrabel said, I hope to have them, you know. We hope for a lot of things. we hope for a lot of things and, you know, sometimes it just don't work out that way. But typically, on a bye week, you know, guys that don't play the previous week, the coaches usually ask them to stick around for a couple of extra days, just to rehab. They don't have to stick around through the weekend. But if they, you know, are off Thursday and Friday, then, you know, the head coach typically wants them to stick around Thursday and Friday. And if you can, if you're here, then you come in Saturday and just coordinate it with the trainers. Because, you know, the trainers get days off too, but you just got to coordinate it with the trainers. If you're going to be here Saturday, come in early Saturday morning, get treatment, and go about your business. But typically it doesn't mean that you're going to play the next week or not. He just want to make sure the head coach does and his GM that you're getting as much rehab as physically possible, especially when you're not playing, especially when the team's not playing. To them, that those are added days because you don't practice, so you can get extra rehab. Time, extra treatment. So, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that Delanie and Corey and and Brown that they will be back. You know, this game jam, Brown. But what it does is give them that extra time to rehab in hopes, again, in hopes that they could be back. Because the last thing you want as a coach is to let these guys go and then they not get the extra rehab and then they can't play.
What's the point of the bye week?
Exactly, absolutely. So it doesn't necessarily mean they are closer to playing or they're further away from playing. He just wants them to get that extra treatment because they didn't play the prior game.
Well, fascinating to see what level of participation they're at coming up tomorrow at practice. So it should be really interesting to see. Listen, I don't know which side of the ball helps them more. If Delaney, you know, and Corey Davis helps them more, I think it's Jarrell Casey and Jayon Brown that help them more in this, excuse me, with Foles back in the lineup for Jacksonville. I think the defensive guys are more important because, again, the offense right now is number one in the NFL as far as red zone efficiency. Derrick Henry's on pace for 1,300-something and some change in rushing. You know, I can't believe I'm saying this, but the defense was the issue sort of in the last couple of games, and the offense delivered when they had to, and they did. And so against Jacksonville, we've seen this for too many years. It's not going to be a shootout. Even with Gardner Minshew slinging it all over the place in whatever week that was, week two or whatever, it still was a 20-7 game. It was 14-0 in the third quarter, and that's when Vrabel famously goes for it instead of kicking a field goal on the first drive of the third quarter. And it would have been a 14-3 game. So even when the offense was atrocious, this was still a knockdown dragout, and I expect it to be the same coming up this weekend.
Yeah, but still, wouldn't you want that consistency, though, on that offense? Because, I mean, you won't get in situations like that if they play with some consistency throughout the game. So, I mean, yeah, you can say the defense in the last couple games, but, I mean, you gotta be able to keep up with a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, and they couldn't do that on offense.
Yeah, I think it's the quality of the player and the other pieces on the roster. Like, Delaney hasn't been a part of this offense, it feels like, all season. Outside of, like, the Cleveland Browns.
And maybe
the first two games. And Corey Davis, where the hell's he been? Like, I'm not saying it's all his fault here. You know, he's been banged up, and the quarterback switch, and the offensive line's atrocious. Like, we can go down the list of reasons why Corey Davis hasn't put up numbers. But, Jonnu Smith has been a far more dynamic player than Delaney Walker was, at least this season. I'm not suggesting he's a better player. But Jarrell Casey's the best player probably on the defense outside of Kevin Byard, and Jayon Brown is critically important to everything they do on third downs, passing situations. I just think those two guys are so important. Hopefully you get all of them back, but that's doubtful. So we'll see when the practice report comes out tomorrow. Floyd Reese, of course, the former GM and host of Jared and GM here at 2 o'clock on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll talk with Floyd when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson. This is Morning Drive. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Floyd Reese joining us here on the phone lines. Floyd, how are you, my friend? What is going on?
You know what? I'm doing great. How about you guys?
I'm doing all right. What do you make of the what are you looking forward to from the injury report either tomorrow at practice or whatever? Like, how did you evaluate injuries to the bye week, and how important is it when you look at, you know, the law firm of Casey, Walker, Davis, and Brown? How important is it for these guys to be healthy for the stretch run?
Yeah, I mean, these last six games, it goes without saying, are, you know, basically the whole season. And it'll sure be nice to get all those guys back. And I'm expecting we're going to get them back. Now, we don't know anymore. But, you know, the week off, as Dean Hayes will tell you, I mean, during the season, you always look forward to it just to get that rest. But I think coming a little bit later this year may actually end up, the way things are playing out, maybe a little bonus in that, you know, we're kind of getting that rest for this stretch run.
Yeah, you're right, Floyd, because other teams that are dealing with injuries, I don't know if they've had that bye week already or not. Maybe they have. I think Indy had theirs, and they're still dealing with they're still injury plagued right now, and the Titans are now coming off of theirs. Hopefully they can get these guys back and then sort of get on the roll. One guy in particular that really has upped his game, and that's Harold Landry. Actually, Harold Landry and Rashad Evans. Rashad Evans leads the team in tackles, and Harold Landry leads the team in sacks. What have you seen from these two young individuals that gets you excited for the future at the outside linebacker and inside linebacker position?
You know, I think it's exciting because you've seen him get better and better all the way through. You know, went through the rookie year, And like with Evans, he got off to a slow start. And near the end of last year, you know, you saw some things that maybe you liked and you thought, well, geez, that's, you know, a nice little start. Let's see where we go from there. I think since then, both of these guys have upped their games a little bit. You know, Landry, I think it was last week, or last game, got a speed rush on the outside. I mean, it looked like the real deal. You know, get up the field, dip your shoulder, get underneath the hands, get to the quarterback, do those kinds of things. So, you know, is he ever going to be an elite rusher? He maybe, you know, he maybe will have those seasons where he'll get in and have his 14 or 15 sacks or something like that. But at least he looks like somebody that can go out on a yearly basis and approach the double-digit sacks. And I think if you can just continually do that, then, you know, you're going to help everybody get better. But if you're lucky enough at some point in time to maybe add another one of those or maybe even somebody a little bit better, then I think it skyrockets. You know, I think then, you know, people are saying, oh, geez, we got to contend with the guy over here, and then Landry gets his, and then they go back and forth, and you just have that continual pressure. But, I mean, you look at both these young guys, and I mean, Evans – looks like he's got a real nose for the ball, is turning into an impact player. You know, both are showing some of the big play capability that we really need. You know, we've got good players on defense. We just need those special guys, you know, those guys that get the fumbles and get the strip sacks and put the offense in great position to score, or – you know, with Evans and what he did the last game, just pick it up and run it in yourself. That's cool, too.
Floyd Reese joining us here, host of Jared and the GM, coming up at 2 o'clock every day here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And the question I have about Vrabel for you, Floyd, is we saw last year in his first five, six, whatever it was, weeks of the season, sort of his first five or six games as a head coach, he made a couple of mistakes, maybe some errors in judgment, maybe a challenge flag or two that he shouldn't have thrown. But it seemed like he sort of eliminated all of that as the season went along and was pretty sound and I thought overcame a lot of adversity last year as far as getting to a 9-7 record with all the injuries they dealt with, so on and so forth. This year, we felt like every week for the first 6 weeks of the season, 7 weeks of the season, we had major game management questions about decisions that he was making. It doesn't feel like we've had a couple of those. It feels like we've had four or five games now. Is that directly tied to Ryan Tannehill? Is it just him learning? Is it just coincidence? Do you have an explanation for maybe what you've seen out of the coach and his ability to manage the game in the second half of the season?
You know, the thing that is always interesting about all those issues, and you know me, generally speaking, I'm not one to really climb all over a fourth down call unless it's an obvious. You know, I can't remember which game it was, but he could have gone in and kicked a field goal and put us up like 17 or
Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that it? And didn't do that. Now, I can discuss that. I mean, I think that was clearly a mistake. And I think he, even after the game, you know, came out and said, yeah, I probably should have kicked it. But beyond that, it's interesting because Jared, you know, the way Jared is on this all the time. And then you get these analytics gurus that come out and will tell you, oh, no, every one of those was a correct call. So it depends on who you're talking to and what you're talking about. But with all those fourth down calls, I don't care where it is. It's like people going for 2 points when you're down by eight. You know, is that right or wrong? Well, you know, if it works, it's right. If it doesn't work, it's wrong. You know, that's kind of the way it works out. So I'm not sure I have a lot of debate with generally speaking. I didn't like the fake field goal with the punter, but I didn't like the fake field goal because the punter was carrying the ball. And, you know, he's the last guy in the world you want handling the ball. But, you know, other than that, some of those other ones, I mean, I really don't have a gripe about.
Now, Floyd, obviously the Titans will have to make a decision at the end of the season on how they proceed with the quarterback position. I think that will be the biggest off-season talk come the Tennessee Titans more than any other team, I think, in the league because they have no quarterback under contract. And, you know, where do they choose to pick a quarterback in the draft? Do they move up? Do they move out of first round? What do they do to try to get a quarterback? But Phillip Rivers, we talked briefly. The way he played last night, it seems like his welcome in L.A. is pretty much worn out. Maybe he needs a change of scenery. This is a guy that hasn't missed a game in, gosh, 15 years he's been playing. Other than the first 2 years, he's been durable. Do you think or should the Titans, because they talked about this a few years ago before drafting Marcus, should they kick the tires on potentially bringing in a guy like Phillip Rivers that wouldn't probably command the 20-plus that maybe Ryan Tannehill will?
You know, it's going to be a debate. I mean, I'm not sure if you do that, in my opinion. If you bring in a Phillip Rivers, you know it's not long-term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't even know for sure if he wants to leave San Diego to go anyplace else because his family's been there so long. But if, in fact, he comes, you know it's going to be short-term. So what you're doing then is you're bringing in a quarterback and you're paying him, you know, whatever it is you've got to pay him, but it's not going to be cheap. Then you're going to have to draft somebody that is apparently going to be, you know, a backup for a year or two and then take it over, and you're not sure you hit on that guy. You know, so the truth is, in 2 years, you could end up with Phillip Rivers retiring and with a kid playing quarterback that has never played, and you're wondering where you are then. So I think it depends on how strongly you feel about whoever it is you're drafting, and yet realizing that, hey, these number one picks at quarterback, I mean, you know, they just don't. The millions and millions and millions of dollars spent on drafting players and that position, you know, the payoff is, what, maybe 20%, something like that. I mean, it's not a great investment, but because it's the most important position in sports, you really have no choice.
Are you talking, like if you're John Robinson, do you already know Ryan Tannehill's number, or is Ryan Tannehill basically like going week to week, changing his price on you? Like, do you have those conversations as a GM?
Yeah, I hope you have. I mean, I would have. What I try to do about this time of year, because, you know, you're at a point in time in this season where most of these guys are saying, you know, if you contact them about a deal, you have to really make it attractive, or else they're just going to say, you know what, I'll just wait till the end of the season. We'll go out there and see what's there. And, you know, because they've already made it through the majority of the season. If this is week two of a season and you approach them, it may be a lot more attractive because they're thinking to themselves, okay, 14 more weeks. Can I physically survive these 14 weeks and have a season good enough to earn that money? Some guys say, sure, I can. Other guys that maybe have injury issues, you know, aren't quite as sure. But once you get down to the last few weeks of the season, I think guys are more inclined to say, hey, I'll run the risk. You know, let's see what's out there at the end. And that makes it harder on John. But to get back to the original point, I would have contacted all the free agents by now and just talking to them, just checking them out. And because what you have to do at the end of the year is you have to have a feel for the guys you've got a chance to make deals with so that you can go ahead and make some of those deals and take some of the weight off of that plate. Because right now there's a lot of contracts, you know, sitting on that on the table, and you want to be able to eliminate some of those. Well, the deals that you can make because the guy wants to be here, you want him here, et cetera, then I would go ahead and make those and then work on the really, really hard ones later on. But if you don't have a feel to try to do that right at the end, there just really isn't enough time to do it effectively.
Floyd Reese joining us here, host, of course, Jared and the GM coming up 2 o'clock. Why is it that Jacksonville, why are the Titans in Jacksonville's head? I know Jacksonville won earlier this year. Why has this franchise been so good against Jacksonville?
I don't know. You know, isn't that strange? And it goes so far back. You know, we've kind of been this way for a long time, and it's kind of like us in Indy. You know, why does that happen? I have no idea. You know, I think we've played pretty good defense. I think we've run the ball effectively. And they have always kind of been built the way that we have been built, in that, you know, they want the They want Fournette to run the ball effectively. They want to play that real good defense like they did our first game. And then, you know, play action pass and do some things from the quarterback position to just keep them in the game, keep them, you know, maybe if you're lucky enough to get a score or two, then great. But generally it's going to be a, you know, fairly close game and close to the vest. And we've been lucky enough that, you know, I think Derek in particular seems to play pretty good against Jacksonville. So, you know, keeping our fingers crossed, maybe it can happen again.
Yep, hometown team there. Floyd, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much, dude.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Floyd Reese there, of course, host of Jared and the GM.
Well,
I'm going to call him host just to piss off Jared.
I mean, hoes, hello hoes, no hoes, I don't know. I'm looking at the team cap space. This year, they were $23 million, well, roughly $24 million. 2020, there'd be $49 million, almost $50 million in cap space. So they, because they got guys under contract already, you got to factor in the allotment they put on rookies. But they have the ability to pay Ryan or any quarterback they choose to bring in. A hefty amount, at least for the first 2 years, of a deal. So whether it's Ryan Tannehill or Phillip Rivers or anybody, I think they have the ability, if they had to pay $22, $23, $24 million, they would have that ability without, you know, crippling themselves from the salary cap.
I mean, if you do the math, that's about what they spent this year. I mean, Marcus is at 20.9, 21, and Tannehill's at like a couple million dollars.
Exactly.
So that's right around 23-ish, give or take a few whatever shekels here or there. It's about the same number. Let's get into that a little bit more, and I'd like to know where you'd want to go with that money. We got Top 4 Tuesday coming up, of course, at the top of the hour. We've got some update from Nick Saban as well on Tua, so we'll get to all of that coming up. But looking at the cap space for the Tennessee Titans, what are some of their options at the quarterback position moving forward? Because it's not just the quarterback. They got a bunch of other free agents we got to sign, too. And you just heard Floyd talking about it. They should be having these conversations ongoing every day. We'll do that right here on Morning Drive. Don't go anywhere.
Well, I mean, it's paramount, I think, to our success to be able to stay in drives and get going 4, 5, 6, 7 plays into drives to where, you know, the offense really works. The plays begin to complement each other. You know, players have had a crack at seeing certain defenses, getting into a rhythm and allow plays to complement each other. And so, you know, just have to try to be able to have some success and not let penalties or, you know, mistakes derail us and force us into third and long. And when you spend 66 plays a third down and third and 7+, you know, that's tough.
You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Braden Gall, Derek Mason, that was Mike Vrabel talking about wanting to run more plays, but it wasn't in the sense of, you know, hey, we want to be a more up-tempo offense. We're going to snap the ball a bunch more. It's more about sustained drives. We'll get to the cap space question in just a second, but I got a quick question for our audience just out of the blue here. Marquise just got a phone call, and somebody just breathed into the phone. Is that correct, Marquise?
Yeah, all I heard was breathing. I was like, 102.5 the game.
I was what? Like,
I could see if it was like, what do you Halloween, do? Then maybe, yes, it would be acceptable.
Do you like scary movies?
Because that's like the old Michael Myers, you know, him just, I can go with that.
Was it Scream? Was it the movie Scream that the guy would call?
Yeah.
He's like, or no, was I Know What You Did Last Summer?
It was Scream. Wasn't that Drew Barrymore?
I'm getting all my terrible scary movies from the 90s confused.
Yeah, but do you like scary movies?
yeah, but I guess so, sir, yeah.
What are you doing just calling and breathing into the phone?
Yeah, what were you doing? Like, were you on a squatter? I mean, were you on a treadmill at home? Were you, I don't know, were you trying to catch a breath to say something and you couldn't? Did you just get finished running and wanted to call in because you felt compelled to. I don't know.
How long did you let him breathe, Marquise, on the phone?
I mean, I don't let you breathe twice, and then
you
I'm
get
out.
Two breaths, and then
two breaths, and I'm out.
Two breaths.
Then if you let him breathe long, if you let him take long more than two breaths, that's on you, Dan.
You're right. I don't think I could stand a third breath listening to this.
Well,
third
I got
to
ask them twice. I got to be 102.5 the game, and they don't answer me. I got to repeat it, and if they don't respond after I repeat it, then I hang up. I
think the game.
As long as you've repeated it, I think you've done your job. I think once you've repeated it, I think you're
trying
good.
To give you the opportunity to speak up, man.
Guys, you should have said
it's okay when you call to
you
talk.
You should have said hello, Willie Waldrose.
I should have.
Hot Pepper Place.
Weird Willies.
Exactly. Hot Pepper Place. What you want? What you want to order?
Hot Pepper Place.
Will this be dine-in or takeout, sir?
Exactly.
I bet you'd stop breathing right then. Mm-hmm. Had no problem.
We'll take out, sir. That.
Oh, wait. Oh, really? Oh, I thought I called a radio station. All right. We'll get to the plays and the offensive snap count because I'm interested in that. But just you were looking at the cap space there, and you're looking at the numbers, and about 21, 22, 23 million will come off the cap because of Marcus and Tannehill. Now they may choose to re-sign one of them. I'm assuming Marcus is done here. I just think we sort of need to acknowledge that's probably the case. But Tannehill may not be, depending on what he's asking for. Mm-hmm. You know, the question is, again, I don't know if they've got a chance to get the quarterback they want. Nobody knows which quarterback they value the most in the draft, whether or not they value a guy in next year's draft more or whatever. But there are going to be some options, whether it's Phillip Rivers in an expiring contract, whether it's Tannehill here in a bridge deal, whether it's Teddy Bridgewater, who strikes me as you're going to be paying a lot of money for someone who is not really a huge, you know, upgrade as far as the ability to win games. There is cap space, though. Now, you have to also take into account Derrick Henry, Logan Ryan. You know, there's some big names on that list that are going to either need to get contracts or you're going to have to make some tough decisions.
Yeah. This season, the Titans were fourth in total cap space with $23 million. The Colts, Browns, and Bills were ahead of them. For next year, they are sort of in the middle range as far as cap space with 49. The Indianapolis Colts, I guess they have a bunch of money coming off the cap because they got a whopping $107 million in cap space.
It's like all Andrew Luck.
Yeah, a lot of it's Andrew Luck. Yeah, so they got a lot of money. So they're going to be able to build their team however they want to. But the Titans, with almost $50 million in cap space, do they go out and, you know, like we said, do they have the ability to go out and sign a quarterback for $20+ million? I think they would, because essentially, like you said, that's what they're paying right now for both Ryan and Marcus. They're paying probably $25 million altogether. And I know they don't do their math based upon, okay,
right.
we no longer have two. Right. We could take that two and make it one. I know they're not doing their math that way. But I think you can afford to pay the guy that's going to eventually give way to the starter. You can pay him 20-some million. You're going to have to because the thing you don't want to do, if you're not picking in the top 10, and you're not able to get, whether it's Tua, whether it's Burrow, whether it's Fromm, any one of these guys, you can't afford to, you know, wait to see, you know, what's going to happen. Can we get that guy? I think you're going to have to sign your free agent guy and make him the ultimate starter until you get the quarterback ready. I mean, Floyd all but said it. It's, you know, you start kicking tires right now, and you got to make the decision on do you pay Ryan or do you go out and get another guy like a Phillip Rivers that you know only going to play 2 years?
Yeah.
You know, if that.
Well, and my question is, why, if you're Phillip Rivers, would you want to come play for an offense that we know is going to be built around Derrick Henry by and large? Now,
I think
we're
it would
assuming,
help him, though. I think that would help Phillip Rivers.
Maybe you're right, and that's what I'm curious about. That's why I wanted to play the Vrabel cut there, talking about the offense, because he's not talking about running a spread. He says, hey, we want to run more offensive plays. When I hear that, I think like a college offense that wants to run 100 snaps a game. Like, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about We want sustained drives where we can get to the third, fourth, fifth, sixth play, seventh play, eighth play. You're not in third and seven all the time. And to me, that screams Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
That says to me, that's him saying we need Derrick Henry to be better, or not him necessarily, but we need to build our offense more around Derrick Henry. And if that's the case, which I think we all kind of agree is smart, I mean, maybe an aging quarterback sees that and says, all right, good, I'm going to play with a running game that I know is going to be dependable. Maybe a guy like Tannehill says, okay, I know what the situation is. I'm more familiar. I'm willing to take more risk here. But I also wonder if I'm a free agent and I'm looking at this Titans offense going, this Titans offense has been terrible for 5 years or whatever, mediocre, whatever you want to call it, and the receivers aren't all that special yet. They're young. They could be good. I'm just curious how attractive the job actually is. Like, we all know money is the deciding mm-hmm. factor here, right? If I offer you $30 million, you're going to come play no matter where it is. But I'm just curious how much would Phillip Rivers look at this offense and say, no, I don't want to play in that offense versus it could keep my career going longer.
I think it would be an attractive job, especially to a older quarterback that still has some years left. Because if you're Phillip Rivers, you look at, and a lot of it it depends on whether they sign Derrick Henry back. I think if they sign Derrick Henry back, which that should be their main priority other than a quarterback, but if they sign Derrick Henry back, then I look at a guy like Phillip Rivers, and if I'm him, I'm like, okay, I can go there, because if they shore up the offensive line, the weight is not on me to win games. I could turn around and hand the ball off to this bruising back, and the only time I am called to win a game is in 2 minutes, really. You know, the 2 minute before halftime and the 2 minute at the end of the game. All I'm here to do is to be a veteran, to play good football, and I may have to win a game here and there. I can, but they don't want me to. Only thing they want me to do is turn around and give to Derrick Henry. And if I'm an older quarterback, that's what I want. You know, I still got some years left. You shore up the offensive line. This situation with the Tennessee Titans, the more and more I look at it, it's a ideal situation. I think that's why Ryan Tannehill is having so much success now, is that they finally said, we are running the offense through Derrick Henry. And older quarterbacks that have had some success in trying to get their careers going again, this is an ideal situation for them, because all the pressure is not on them
good,
to win ball
good
games.
Defense, good defense,
exactly. Good
game,
good defense,
yeah.
Good running game. Shore up the offensive line next year. A guy like Phillip Rivers, even if it's for 2 years. You know, you look at what Green Bay did with Aaron Rodgers. They let him sit for a year or two, you know, yeah. And then he ultimately segue into being a starter. He benefited from sitting those 2 years. And then they can build up the offense around whoever's going to be the quarterback after this guy for 2 years.
See, that's smart and logical and reasonable, though. And the NFL world is now built on, like, what did you do for me, like, last minute?
Yeah.
You know, like, yesterday, this second, today, what are you doing for me right now? And it's unfortunate. I wish we went back to a place where quarterbacks got a year. I wonder if we're ever going to swing back to a place where quarterbacks get more time to develop. Patrick Mahomes sat for a year. He's the first one to do that in a long time, it feels like. And he sat and learned behind a really heady cerebral guy, and Alex Smith, a guy who takes care of the football. Now, he's also got, like, the best tight end, the most athletic wide receiver, mm-hmm. the best play caller. Like, he's got a lot of reasons for the success. But I wonder if the NFL ever swings back on, hey, maybe we're forcing these guys. Like, the reason mm-hmm. they're not successful is that we're forcing them into
exactly.
these unsuccessful positions so often that they're ending up the way they are. Some guys are ready to play, some guys aren't. So who knows? All right, it is Tuesday in November, which means college football playoff rankings are coming out tonight. That means we got Top 4 Tuesday coming up when we return. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait. Lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.